Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 143 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling, It's Always a Delight Leading the Nishan Crop Quality Team, second day. Although I've hosted the Nishan Crop Quality Tour for 11 years, this is the third time I have produced podcasts from their visits. Back in September 2017, I posted a two-parter, episodes 37 and 38, entitled When Nishan Comes Calling. In September 2018, episode 90, I produced a single podcast from the Nishan visit entitled An Ideal Season for Our Favorite Crop. For anyone wishing to know more about how weather affects the wheat crop, those podcasts, as well as the double header this year, are great places to start. You can find the older podcast at the Washington Grain Commission website at wagrains.org. Click on Podcast Summaries at the bottom of the page and navigate back into time. On another topic, I wanted to thank all of you who heeded my request to like the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. I post podcast summaries, link to the current podcasts, and photos on the page. FYI, I'm posting a lot of photos from this year's Nishan team tour, so be sure to check them out. Liking or following the Grain Commission is a great way to stay up to date on the latest Weed All About It episode. Subscribing through a podcast app like iTunes or Stitcher also works. In 2018, the wheat crop south of Spokane was ideal. Statewide, we came close to a record. Only the falling number-marred year of 2016 saw a greater average yield per acre. The 2019 harvest wasn't on that level, but it wasn't bad by any means. At all six of the locations the team visited, the crop was rated above average thanks to a long, cool spring and summer season that allowed wheat heads to fill slowly and plentifully. As you'll hear ahead, there are many roads to a good harvest, and a spring and early summer without hot weather is one way to reach a positive destination. I'm starting this episode, the second day of our tour, at what was the tour's second stop, a meeting with John Heaton at Stateline Processors in TECO. Stateline is the smallest outfit the team visits, but that smallness makes a big impression on the team because Heaton, as his own boss and a farmer too, is, well, less inhibited. His independence comes through in his conversation, which is alternately funny, irreverent, entertaining, and informative. I've found that as companies consolidate and become larger, words are chosen more carefully. Not so at Stateline, where Heaton goes beyond answering questions to give the Nishan team an American experience, whether it's taking them to a field being harvested or letting them carefully handle the rifle he keeps in the back window of his truck, the one with the license plate that identifies him as a former Marine. Ordinarily, when the Nishan team arrives, Heaton is well into harvest. But on August 20th, 2019, it was only the third day combines were in the field. In another profession, such a late start might flummox a person. Heaton takes it all in stride and finds the silver lining.
We have just basically started. But that's kind of bad and good. In a sense, we had really mild weather. I mean, we had good weather, and it was kind of cool, and nothing was stressed, and it just kind of ripened very slowly, and here we are at the 20th of August, so kind of a late harvest, obviously, for us, and we're just kind of getting started, but from kind of what I'm hearing and seeing, I think the yields are probably going to be probably above average. I don't think we're going to set any records by any stretch, but I think overall everything looks pretty good. With what little bit of stuff we've hauled, it doesn't look like we're going to have any falling numbers issues, which is always nice for us and obviously nice for you. And it looks to be, if we can get it in the bin, we're going to have a pretty decent harvest up here. So that's kind of the big picture, but we really did. We had pretty darn good favorable conditions. We had good conditions going into the fall. had a little bit of a, we didn't even think we were going to have a winter. We weren't having any kind of winter at all. It was kind of a mild winter. And then February came, and then we had a lot of winter for a little bit. I live over kind of by Latah, about 6 miles here to the west. And I was snowed into my house for 17 days over the course of February. Highway 27 was basically a nomad. They would just get it open, and it would blow shut again. We didn't get a lot of snow, but we got a lot of wind. And we were a little worried about, you know, winter kill, or, you know, how we were going to come out of the winter. And we did come out a little banged up, not bad. But we had, like I said, pretty good favorable conditions, you know, once spring came around. A lot of moisture at the right time, got our June rains and then some. And, you know, things are looking pretty good. And it'll be interesting, we're probably 3 weeks away from even knowing about the spring wheat. The spring crops, I think, are going to do very well. We were a little bit later than seeding our spring crops than we normally would like to be. And that can really catch you. You seed late, and then late June, July comes, and they just, you know, burn up. And, yeah, it's kind of, we were really pushing the envelope a little bit on spring wheat. And there was a lot of spring wheat that went in because King Garbanzo Bean is no longer King Garbanzo Bean. The last few years, we hardly put out any spring wheat seed whatsoever. They're just, you know, the money was in garbs and lentils and peas to some degree. And not this year. Everybody wanted spring wheat. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of spring wheat went in, and we were a little worried, you know, look good on paper, but how is this going to be planting as late as we did? But spring wheat looks awfully good. Yeah. It always frustrates me when you guys come. It seems like no matter when you come, I mean, like this year, we should have been, you know, 3/4 of the way done with our fall wheat by now when you come. It seems like every year you come, I'm just starting it. I'm kind of a little guy, you know, in the big picture as far as an outfit. I don't like having a bunch of varieties. Too much to keep track of, too much chaos out there. If I have about 4 varieties of wheat, that's kind of enough. And it's not that we won't plan a little bit of something new. I mean, we always try and do that. But I it's kind of like if I find a new variety that seems to work good, I want to get rid of one. I've got some fellas that, you know, they look at every, which is good, you know, they look at every test trial data, and, you know, it's like, are you going to have whatever, you know, some number? It's like, well, probably not, you know. And it is such an arms race now of, you know, the universities and the private companies, really, you know, I mean, release new varieties, and we don't get a kind of a feel for them. You know, I mean, they might look good on paper, and everybody's always chasing the tiger, wanting that new big variety. And, you know, I like something that has a little bit of a history and a track record. And like the Tico's done awfully well for us, and so that was a good one. But generally, yeah, people are creatures of habit, and they fall back on what they know. Spring wheat-wise, though, they're not too much of a creature habit just because we haven't raised it, you know, for a lot of fellas around here haven't really raised any spring wheat. So they didn't really know. Really, they didn't have a lot of experience themselves raising it, and they pretty much this spring were willing to take anything that they could find. We always kind of, you know, if something's been out there for a couple years, we like to, you know, try something new. Kind of like, for instance, this year we've got some resilience in, mm-hmm. and it's, I don't know if you have that on there or not. It's a beyond tolerant wheat. I'm kind of looking for something to replace my 102, and maybe the resilience will be the ticket. Madsen will probably be here forever. Madsen is one that we have good luck with Madsen, and it's kind of bulletproof. It's good disease wise, and a lot of the newer wheats, of course, go back. They dip into the Madsen gene pool when they're developing even these new wheats. And you know, sometimes it's just good, just stick with Madsen then, you know. And it's been very consistent over the years. A lot of newer varieties are better, I would say, in a lot of respects in yield trials. But Madsen is very, very consistent, very good disease-wise, good disease profile, and it comes through the winter good, comes up good, and so we've got guys that are going to just stick with it. I bet if you looked over time, probably our landlords that have zero input or interest or marketing decisions whatsoever, they've probably done better than the farmers. You know, I mean, they get what they get, and off they go. Take their money to the bank and run. The farmers, we sit here, and I'm just as guilty. I mean, I'm a farmer, but have the grain elevator here. We sit there, and we want that nickel. Mm-hmm. We think it's going to go up, you know, one more nickel. And so we wait the month, and that's 3 cents of story. So we burn the 2 cents, and then, well, now it's got to go up a dime, I guess, to, you know, and we sit here deer in the headlights, and we sit, and the market goes up, and the market goes down. And then after about 6 months, or 3 months, or 4 months, or screw it, sell it. And, of course, you know, good for us is an elevator. I mean, we've collected storage on it all that time, but and, you know, the market can make big rallies and whatever, but if it makes the big rally, that's when you need to sell, you know. It's like you don't wait for it to go up again, and so we're probably, you know, horrible marketers.
Sticking with the variety Madsen, which was released 31 years ago, is not just a matter of its yield, quality, and disease resistance. It's also a variety that doesn't have royalties attached to it. Seed is becoming more expensive, and although many farmers see the value of planting newer varieties, others weigh the cost of seed versus the performance. For now anyway, Madsen remains a viable choice. At this point, I'm going to backtrack to our meeting with Derek Schneidmiller at CHS in Rockford. Unlike much of the state, which saw record yields in 2018, Schneidmiller's draw area was actually down last year. But things have turned around in 2019.
This year we've had really pretty good growing conditions for the crop. We had a pretty significant amount of snowfall in the month of February after not much moisture. So we started the spring off with some good moisture for the winter wheat crop as it was coming out of dormancy. We had some drier stretches this spring. But we always seem to get kind of the timely rain that helped keep the crop progressing. So we've been seeing anywhere from 70 to 85 bushels per acre so far on the winter wheat. We're probably about 50% harvested through the winter wheat. Really no spring crop has been cut yet. But so far, we've seen pretty good quality. Test weights anywhere from 58 to 63 pounds. Falling numbers, we've averaged about 345 so far. Got started about the 5th of August this year on harvest. And then we were delayed for probably 5 to 7 days with a pretty significant rain event that came through. Haven't seen any grades back yet on that post-harvested grain after the rain. So we'll see if that, you know, has affected any sprout or low falling numbers.
And what were conditions like at seeding?
Last fall it was a little bit dry last year when the crop went in the ground. So going into winter it was a little bit smaller than what we would typically like to see it. But again, like I said, this spring, start of the spring when it broke dormancy, there was good moisture there for it. So the spring crop, you know, it went through some stretches where it was fairly dry, you know, so we don't have any results back from the spring wheat yet, but I would think we'll probably be anywhere to that 50 to 60 bushel range on spring wheat, but quality should still be fairly decent. Protein, so what we've seen on the limited grades we've got back, we've been anywhere from 9.5 to all the way up to 12. It seemed like we were always usually around the 15th of August when we would get started. Mm-hmm. But here the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, we've really been right at the end of July, very first part of, mm-hmm. of August. So the more recent trend, we're behind that, yeah. We've had a lot of cooler days, especially throughout the month of July, yeah. Maybe only 10 to 15% club wheat in this area up here. Most of it being a soft white winter wheat varieties.
So have you noticed a reduction in club planting since there is no premium?
We have, yes. Yes, we have seen a reduction in. What percentage is it down? I would say we're at least probably 50% less than what we were last year, yeah. The legumes, I would say even this year, a lot less legumes planted just due to price, due to the markets. Canola, you know, the market, the price isn't great on that either, but they see it as working really well into their rotation, what it does for the soil. Usually the winter wheat crop that they follow with after the canola, they see an increase in the yield. Okay. I think we're probably going to end up, well, I think we'll end up better than where we were last year on production. More. Yeah. Yeah, more. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. With the white wheat, I would say we've seen a lot more willingness to try some of these newer varieties. You know, I mean, it seems like they're coming out with new varieties a lot faster now than they used to. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's always trying to, you know, increase their yield. And so when they see one of these new varieties that has done well in the test trials, they've been more willing to try it, yeah.
On a scale of 10, one being horrible, 10 being the best you can be, where does this year's crop appear to be coming in at?
I think we're probably going to be, I would put us at about a 7. The way I was looking at the scale with 10 would be that we were, you know, above average mm-hmm. yield and quality. But I think we're going to be average to a little above average, wow. Yeah.
A 7 is not a 10, but it's a heck of a lot better than a 4. And there was a moment during the 2018-2019 crop year when a 4 on the scale of 1 to 10 was expected and would have occurred if spring and summer weather had been normal. But it wasn't, and as you listen to Jake Geisler and Bud Mercer at Pacific Northwest Grain Growers describe the growing season, you realize that farmers owe their good luck not just to good weather, but the right kind of good weather. Geisler starts off with Mercer coming in about 2 minutes later.
Seeded all the wheat in dry conditions. Most of it didn't get any moisture, any rainfall. Oh, it was probably the middle of November. None of that wheat was up really prior to fall or prior to winter. We went into winter, finally got some snow cover in December. Most of that wheat tried to come up before the snow, or while there was snow cover. Snow came off. The wheat looked pretty ragged coming out of winter. It was still pretty small. The crop progressed. We stayed cool through the spring, so it took a long time to get the wheat going and to get of any size. And that was pretty much the case up until June. When we finally did get some heat behind the wheat, it was still fairly ragged. And luckily we had a cool June and July, and it really tillered and caught up after that. Overall, if you would have asked my opinion in June, we were looking at a below average crop. Like I said, June and July being pretty good growing months for us. Not regular as far as overabundance of moisture and temperatures that were adequate for growing a pretty decent wheat crop. The wheat recovered well. Today, things have matured. We're probably 2 weeks behind as far as harvest is concerned. But the yield of that crop is probably average. I'd say it's average, maybe slightly above in certain areas, depends where you are. Quality looks to be pretty good. We haven't really seen anything for quality concerns. So overall, a good crop, but definitely had a pretty tough start compared to last year's crop for sure. So
now these folks are really interested in the protein. Have you got any samples back preliminarily with regard to protein?
The P&W this year, as Jake was talking about, started off pretty rough, but I believe that we'll probably have an average or above average crop, not as good as last year. That was a record crop last year. But from a quality standpoint, your proteins will be probably between the 9.8 to 10.2 range on average in the PNW. I would say it's a very clean crop, very dry crop. A lot of the moistures you're going to have in there are probably sub-9 on most of it. Falling numbers, a few spotty problems for early harvested grain, but I think overall the falling numbers are going to be in the mid-300 range on average over the PNW. Kernel size is good. We did get a cool, wet June, helped the crop fill. Like Jake was saying, if you would have called the crop June 1st, I would say we would have been 10 to 20% below average. Now we're probably going to be, at least in my view, slightly above average in this area and probably 10% above average across the whole PNW.
They've been asking the question on a scale of 1 to 10, and I realize that this is preliminary, with 1 being horrible and 10 being perfect, where would you put this crop?
About a 7.
What about you, Jake?
I would say it's somewhere between 7 and 8. I mean, it's kind of an average crop, average year, all things considered.
I think that you, last year, Bud, said it was a 10.
You couldn't have got better conditions than last year. We had lots of wheat, and the only problem with the wheat last year was, depending on the application, the protein was probably a little too low. I would say club volume is probably less than last year. There was lots of club last year. Not a problem. There will be no problem for Western White this year. Japan MAF still buys 20% Western White. Okay, not a problem. You may pay small premium as the year goes on, but club wheat will be no problem.
As a trader with years of experience both at export and upcountry locations, I take Mercer's comments to the bank when it comes to club wheat supply. But nobody can forecast a year out, and it will be interesting to follow the club saga as the WGC works not only to maintain supply to the Japanese, but works to entice more countries back to the 20% club, 80% soft white, Western white blend. If there's a premium that occurs, you can bet we'll be talking about it right here on Wheat All About It!
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat. But there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.